Okay.
I'm working on it.
I washed it all.
I know. I just never. That was that thing going on at that time. And then after meeting you and seeing the name several times, I get back an email saying, "Where is that guy? Is he going to paint the theater?"
Yeah.
Presbyterian Church on this delightful Sunday morning. It's been a while since we've heard a few rumbles of thunder, but it's honestly a little bit welcome. I'll tell you, spring is on its way. The bulletin abounds with announcements, but if anybody would like to make a particular announcement at this time, you're welcome to do so. Yes, Rich.
Yesterday, the Girl Scouts, two of them called. They got rained out. They asked if they could use the church basement this afternoon, and I gave them permission, and I'll watch over them.
That should be entertaining in and of itself.
Girls, plus their
parents. All right, so Rich just made the announcement for our online followers that the Girl Scouts were supposed to gather, and they got rained out, but they're going to come in this afternoon, and Rich is going to watch them. Any other announcements? Yes, Tiffany.
I just wanted to thank Jacob, first of all. He and Ben Delligotti worked with some of the Air Force Junior ROTC students from Pine Richland at Mars, and there was about 13 to 14 of the students out in our cemetery. And so if you notice the first three rows in the cemetery, take a look. There are names that I have not been able to read before that you can now read because they've cleaned the monuments. So I know it's raining now, but take a quick look and you can see they've changed. So thanks to all of that.
Thank you, Tiffany, for announcing that Jacob and Ben and members of Ben's Junior ROTC group were out cleaning the headstones from the cemetery yesterday. Got the first three rows done, and in between thunderbursts after the service, go take a look and see how amazing the difference is. It sounds like it was quite a process, so thank you to everybody who was involved in that. And hopefully we can get three more rows done sometime in the near future. Any other announcements?
I got one.
Yes, sir.
Just, they had six people from church yesterday out on Bear Run Road, got six bags of trash, and so thanks to Frank, who organized that, I think. So, encourage you next year. Maybe we'll get eight bags of trash, but I think we did a really good job of picking up everything.
Excellent. All good news. Very constructive use of the day yesterday with the weather being what it was. It was gorgeous, absolutely, yesterday. All right, any other announcements you'd like to make? All right, seeing none, we share together in the good news that we celebrate today. We were dead in our sins, but God made us alive through faith in Christ Jesus, our living Lord. Using the prayer for open hearts and minds found in your bulletins, let us center our thoughts on the God who has made that good news real in us. Please join me in unison. Almighty God, who has raised Jesus from the dead and has made us one family as brothers and sisters of the living Christ, we ask that as one family together, we may listen to you today and receive your acceptance and power. Help us to rejoice and accept each other and encourage each other for greater acts of service for you. Amen. Please rise if you are comfortably able and join us in our choral call to worship. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Thank you.
We recognize that God is at work in us simply because we have chosen to be here in this time of worship and discovery. Thanks be to God.
We promise to encourage each other, bless each other, and lift each other up. Thanks be to God. We come now in worship, not knowing all the answers to our questions about God, but trusting that as we seek the God who knows our names, that we will be drawn nearer to our Lord in truth, understanding, and love. Thanks be to God.
Our intro hymn, I believe is another insert. Lo, in the grave he lay, Christ arose. Silently, as individuals, trusting in Christ alone. Will you join me in unison? Mighty God,
by your power, Christ has raised from death to rule this world with love. We confess that we have not believed in him, but have chosen doubt and fear instead. We have invited fear to live with us, and fear has driven out gratitude. And with gratitude gone, we cannot give thanks to you or help to others. Forgive our dread of dying and our heart hopelessness. May we know your gracious character as you know and love us. Lift us out of this pit that we have climbed into, freeing us for joy in the victory of Jesus Christ. He was dead, but now he lives, and he will put down every power that seeks to hurt or destroy the good, now in heart, but completely when your promised kingdom comes.
Amen. We are forgiven by God through faith in Christ, who was once dead but now is alive forevermore. It's as simple and as complicated as that. Believe it, trust it, and live in it. This is the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. To God's glory shown to us through the peace of Christ, let us share this peace of God with each other as practice for sharing it with those we meet outside this building. May the peace of Christ be with you.
reading Exodus chapter 3, verses 4 through 15. Once again, you can find it on page 47 and 48 in your pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." Then he said, "Do not come near. Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh. You may bring forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of the fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations." The Lord grant us understanding of his holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The scripture reading from the New Testament today is from the Gospel of John, John chapter 20, verses 10 through 18. You'll find that on page 944 and 945 of your pew Bibles, and I encourage you to read along. I am going to be reading from the New International Version again, and if you follow along in your pew Bibles, I encourage you to do that. You'll see that there's not a whole bunch of difference, and just different choices of words here and there. It's good to check out the different translations. But before I read that, I want to tell you a little story about myself, because I think it in part explains, though you won't see from the story right now, why this passage from the Gospel of John is very important to me. When I was born, my parents named me Michael Richard Berkeley. Michael was the most common boy's name in that year, and Richard was the second most common. So my parents were very creative in some ways. But I grew up being known as Michael. Not Mike, not Mikey. Give it to Mikey, he'll eat it. No, I hated that commercial, if you remember it. But I was Michael, and if a person called me Mike, I just didn't hear them talking to me. And when I went to high school, I really wanted to take Spanish because my brother and sister had both taken German, and I wanted to do something different, but they were going to rename me in Spanish class to Miguel. And I said, no, I'm Michael. And so, I didn't take Spanish. And I have grown a little bit more mature since then. You can call me Michael, Mike, whatever, Pastor. You know, Pastor Mike is much easier to say than Pastor Michael, you know. I answer to just about anything now. But Michael is the name of my heart. It is what I really like. And you'll see about the importance of a name here in this passage as well. Mary Magdalene had come to the tomb and found it empty. She had run back and told the disciples. They had run to the tomb and they'd seen it was empty. And now they went back to where they were staying. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, and I'm just going to interrupt here a moment because Mary thought that man was the gardener, and she was right, but not in the way that she thought. Adam was the first gardener, tasked with caring for and making God's garden a more perfect place, and he really blew it big time. Jesus is the second gardener, the second Adam, and he came to make his garden, the world, a perfect place, and he is doing that by planting you and me to grow and serve him right where we are. But back to the scripture. Mary said, "Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means "my teacher." Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to my Father. Go to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of the Lord. So much of our society today is based on impersonal relationships, value given only when we've gotten something valuable in return. And it's easy to get lost, to think that we're not really all of that important, that we don't have anything good to give, or perhaps worse, to think that the people around us aren't important and are just there to be used by us for our good. But the gospel tells us that we are all important, more important than we realize, because God knows us and loves us. That's what Jesus was saying in the quote on the front of the bulletin today. I think we all want someone to know us, deep down know us, and to love us, even despite knowing us. We crave good relationships, for someone to understand us and accept us just as we are. Sometimes we're afraid of those same relationships because in the past we've been hurt by people closest to us. Yet we still hope. 3,500 years or so ago, there was a shepherd tending his sheep on a rocky mountain. It was a good thing those sheep were experts at finding their food, because there wasn't much food there to be found, and what was there was scattered around the rocky desert of Sinai. Their shepherd, who was named Moses, was an expert at finding his way through difficult situations. That expertise was probably a family trait, because his mother showed it when she arranged for her baby boy to be saved from Pharaoh's decree by placing him in a basket right near where Pharaoh's daughter would find him. So he was raised and educated as Egyptian royalty, yet he still learned of his Hebrew roots from his nurse, his mother in disguise. Moses grew up to be a powerful and arrogant man. One day he saw an Egyptian supervisor beating a Hebrew slave. And so it seems that without much thought, he killed that Egyptian and hid his body. He might have thought that he was going to be the one to liberate his former people, but the next day he found out that he was not wanted. And under the threat of capture and prosecution for murder, he fled to Midian, a faraway country, where he became a shepherd, married, and stayed for the next 40 years. Quite a come down for a past royal prince, especially since the Egyptians despised shepherds. And so, one day, this now humble shepherd is doing his job tending his sheep, and he sees something unusual. A bush burning nearby, burning yet not being burned up. He goes over for a look, something I think we'd probably all do, either that or run away, I don't know. And then Moses hears his name, something that he certainly wasn't expecting to hear. Moses, Moses! I can imagine the hesitancy in Moses' reply, "Here I am," almost a question. And in reply to this, Moses, who has been humbled by his life experiences, is told that he is not humble enough. "Take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground." In other words, Moses, you can't stand on any human thing, on any human skill or condition when you come to me. Not even your sandals. You can only stand on my work, and you are my work, on my character and on my decisions, my call to you. This voice from the burning bush goes on to introduce God. "I am the God of your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am that God who is faithful, who knows them, who knows their descendants now, and who knows you by name. And I have a job for you to do. You will be my instrument to free my people. Don't worry, I'll be with you. Tell my people that I am," the Hebrew word Yahweh, or as we translate it, "the Lord," in capital letters in our Bibles, "has sent you." That's my name. I am. Now you know it, and I know your name. We're in this together. From that time on, it seemed that Moses was swimming in trouble, but it was a trouble that he got into because he was doing God's will in God's strength. The only times he really got into bad trouble was when he forgot to rest in God's dignity and God's strength. and thought to stand on his own and defend his own dignity, to stand in his own sandals, as it were. But that never lasted long, and he soon learned better. In the months and seasons ahead, we in this church will need to be standing on holy ground, standing on God and his call, not standing on our own sandals, on our own strength, but we need to be relying on the Lord as we choose who the leadership, the new pastor for this church, the direction of this church, where God wants us all to go. What gave Moses the strength and courage he relied on was that God knew him, knew his name, and that he knew that God was such a faithful and loving God who cared enough to reveal God's character and name to him, the Lord, the faithful one. From the burning bush, God spoke a message of faithfulness, that the one who had promised to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was also the God of Moses and of all the people of God. That was a wonderful message, a message of hope. But God has also spoken an even better word, a word that reveals God's heart in even more magnificent ways. At the beginning of the Gospel of John, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." Later it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That Word, who was God with the life of God and the character of God and the power of God, chose to empty himself of all that glory and honor and only hold on to humanity and became a human being just like you and me, yet without sin. This holy Word, this Jesus Christ, came to us and loved us even while we were sinners, even while we were desperately trying to stand on our own two sandals. Somehow, Jesus died for us, taking our place in the punishment of our sins. Two Sundays ago, we celebrated Jesus' resurrection, our guarantee of that life of eternity. And we celebrate it again today and every Sunday. Like his heavenly Father, Jesus gives us so many examples of understanding us and knowing our names. He knew Simon, whom he renamed Peter, because he knew that Peter would be the rock. He knew Nathanael, naming him a man without deceit. He knew James and John and called them the sons of thunder. And in loving them all, he called them all to follow him. But there is one story of a person whose name Jesus knew that is so meaningful to me, perhaps because in it I see Jesus' love. Jesus reached out in love to touch a person's heart with his love in a way that really resonates with me. The story I'm talking about is the one I read from John chapter 20, where Jesus meets Mary Magdalene weeping outside of the empty tomb. Those disciples who should have stayed with her and comforted her have left her and gone back to where they were staying. Mary is weeping, alone, missing Jesus. She doesn't know that Jesus has searched for her and found her already, but he has. With all you hear about Mary Magdalene, you'd think that she was talked about all over the Gospels, but in fact, apart from one mention in Luke where it's told that she was healed of demon possession by Jesus, the only time we hear of her is at the cross and on Easter morning. Here is the part of her story that touches me the most. You see, Mary had two names. The culture of Jesus' time had been turned upside down in so many ways by Greek and Roman influences. Most people spoke Greek as a second language, and a lot of people had Greek-adapted names. One of Mary's names was a Greek name, Maria, and that's how her name is usually written down in the Gospels, though we write it in English as Mary. But here in this passage that we read today, when she thinks she is talking to the gardener, she keeps her eyes low, turning slightly away from him, not looking directly at a stranger. It would have been very impolite and risky in that culture to do anything else when meeting a stranger, especially in the early morning at a cemetery. But this gardener calls her by name, Mary. But he doesn't use her Greekified name. He calls her by the name her parents called her when she was born, the name those who knew her and deeply loved her would call her. Instead of Maria, he calls her Miriam, the name she shared with Moses' older sister. How does he know my name? She thinks, and she turns to him and recognizes Jesus and falls at his feet and cries out, Rabboni, my teacher. Then he sends her out to be the first witness to the resurrection. Not as Maria, but again, it says that Miriam Magdalene told the disciples, I have seen the Lord. She uses the name Jesus called her when he found her. That passage says so much to me, and I hope to you. Jesus uses her name, not her casual nickname, but the name of her heart, the name of one of the heroes of the Old Testament. Her reply, my teacher, tells what Jesus had done for her. Jesus had taught her about God. Some rabbis thought it despicable to teach any woman anything about God, but not Jesus. You can see it in all of Jesus' interactions with women, that he treated them in a completely countercultural way. He respected them. He respected Mary and taught her so much that her name for him became my teacher, the best name she could think of until she called him my Lord. Women were not allowed to give testimony in a court of law at that time, and yet Jesus makes her the first witness of the resurrection. That's recorded in all of the Gospels, and if it hadn't happened that way, those authors would never have thought it up. It's taken a long time for the church to value equally the witness of both men and women, and we still have a long ways to go on that. But the Lord is still at work in us because he knows our names and because we are worth far more than many sparrows. Because of that, our connection with him is not fleeting, but eternal. In the months to come, we need to be especially careful to follow Jesus' example of knowing each other's names, our characters, our dreams, our hearts, and not only knowing them, but accepting them and honoring them. To know the character of God. To not stand in our own sandals, but to stand on God's character, his authority, his power, his love. You have the hard task of seeking God's will, in charting the future of this church, and then putting in the hard work to make it a reality. Pray for each other. Love each other. Seek to know the heartfelt desires and goals of each other. Be as Jesus was, the one who came to serve and not to be served. And in doing that, all will be well. Thanks be to God. Amen. In your bulletin, you'll find the affirmation of faith. It's the Apostles' Creed. It begins in the Latin with credo, I believe. And it's something we say together as a church, but it's also something that we say, I believe. We're in this together, and yet each of us is important. Let's affirm our faith together. Please rise. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence she shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. God who teaches us how to give. May we be apt students of you to see how you've given to us your name, your character, to see how you've given us your Son, Jesus Christ, how he chose to die in our place and to give us life with him. Lord, use these gifts and all that we are going to give for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next hymn is Rejoice, the Lord is King, hymn number 155 in your blue hymnals.
Rejoice, give thanks and sing.
We only have the three verses. Thank you, Ruth. Please be seated. Now we have an opportunity to share our stories of what God has been doing. I also would invite you, if you had any, I'm going to add something to this. If you have any questions about my sermon or comments about it, you're welcome to mention it at this time as well. But how has God worked in your life this past week? How have you been bold for Christ? How have you seen God's care in your life?
I'm back here.
Yes, wherever. Hello.
Hi. Yesterday I was able to take my daughter, we went up to Living Trace or Keystone Safari up there, and there were a bunch of new babies that had been born. And it's always so exciting, I think, when God provides these new babies, when we get to see, like, the new reindeer. There was a little camel that was only 4 days old, and it's just so exciting with the new birth and the new animals and stuff. It always reminds me of after Easter, like the new birth and everything.
That's neat. Babies are cute. Sometimes they make people move 10 hours from where they were to be near them, which happened in my case. Yes, Bart. Bert.
Yeah, Michael, and I'll call you Michael because I like that name. My sister's husband's name is Michael. Yeah, I forgot what I was going to say. Thank you.
Tell us about talking with that person. Thank you, Bert. Anyone else? Yes, Kathy.
I see God at work in the cemetery project yesterday. Tiffany had challenged the kids in the Sunday school class, both of them, to come up with a service project. And that was Jake's. And at the time, we were like, we don't know how this is going to happen. There's two kids in the class. It's an awful lot of tombstones out there to be cleaned. That God knew, and all of a sudden we have Susan and Ben that joined our church last week, and Ben had his friends from ROTC, and they had a great turnout and did a marvelous service, and that can only be God.
Thank you for organizing that. Yes.
I just want to add to the cemetery part. 2 weeks ago, they were declaring that we were going to have snow on that particular Saturday. And instead, we got one of the most beautiful days of the year, where it wasn't too hot, it wasn't too cold, and the teenagers were amazing, because I thought we were going to end up with a water battle, and they didn't. They worked hard. And it's very telling that you said about names and how God knows our name, because there was one particular stone that I didn't know what the name was on the stone, and now it says Matilda. I've never seen Matilda's name before. And even those stones wear away, and centuries from now, all of those stones will be gone, God would still remember us.
Yep.
And the Matildas of the world.
Which is awesome. Yes.
This happened to me this week, and it's just a kind of a funny story about names. There was a new clerk at Walmart that I've seen for the past, number of weeks. Cute girl, she's just always smiling, always, even when she was just walking through. But she had an odd name, and we like to call the cashiers by their names. And so there was nobody behind us, so I just stopped and I said, how do you pronounce your name? Well, here she's from Turkey, and her name was Dewey Goo. And she said her co-workers call her Dewey. So we had time, I said, I have an unusual middle name. It's Leota, Elizabeth Leota, but I go by Betty. And I said, my father was in a nursing home. We were visiting him at lunchtime, and all the people were seated around the table, and Jim and I were there. He looks at all the people, and he said, if any of you can guess my daughter's middle name, I'll give you all my money.
Too bad I wasn't there. Oh, no, I still wouldn't have been able to guess it now. But thank you, Betty. Well, let's move on then to a time of prayer. Thank you for sharing. Your sharing encourages you and it encourages others. Now, do you have any joys and concerns that you would care for us to pray for? Yes?
I'd like prayers for my sister Sally. She's having some thoracic needling done on Tuesday.
Thoracic what?
Needling. Where they put a needle into your lung.
Oh, joy. So, you're Sally's sister. Who's Sally's sister? Who's Sally's sister's name? What's Sally's sister's name?
Sally Hoffman.
Thank you.
Who knows?
Okay. Thank you, Susie. Yes.
It's a joy to have Bob and Charlotte back with us. They've been in our church for years.
Bob and Charlotte? Hello, Bob and Charlotte. I'm glad you're here. And Tony's here, too. Tony cares for a man of my own heart. He cares for his grandchildren and children up in Erie, so he goes there a lot and cares for them.
He cares for his wife.
Yep. Well, I guess that means he cares for himself, too. So. Yes. And I should remember your name.
Nina.
Thank you, Nina. Yes, Bert.
Ukraine.
Yep. Yes, Jeannie.
Oh, yes. I have a friend, Jeff, that had cancer and he lost both his legs, but now it seems like his organs are shutting down, so I'd like to come against that and just lift him up. That somehow he has a healing or something happens good with him.
Okay.
And my friend Carmela has Lyme's disease, and I told her I'd put her on the church prayer list so that it doesn't get severe. And I have a friend that's messing around with tarot cards, and I try to tell her how dangerous that is, but I'm not getting the message through.
Okay, thank you, Jean. Yes, Tiffany.
Joy, we prayed for Liam, the 21-year-old who was had a tree fall on him, and he has had a miraculous recovery. The first hospital had diagnosed him with a series of things that when he got to the second hospital were miraculously not a problem. And so his spleen is good, and he only really has a severe leg break. Everything else has gone away.
Wow. That's thanks be to God. Yes, Nina.
I forgot. My grandson Michael had surgery on Friday and he is doing well.
Your grandson Michael, good name, is doing well after his surgery.
Last week because he was involved in a dirt bike accident.
Right. Yes, Jim.
It's never too early to pray for our monumental vacation Bible school that's coming in July. And I think we should begin praying now.
Yep, begin praying and saying, God, what would you want done around here? What might I do? Yes, Sue, Susan.
I just wanted to say how delicious the bread was, what a joy it was that you baked us all a loaf of bread, the new members, and I can't wait to see what more you can bake for us all.
You're welcome. Yes, Nancy.
Prayers for our primary election coming up May 17th.
Okay, well, let's come to the Lord in prayer. I will begin. You can fill in the middle. And if you care to pray for any of these concerns or others, you're welcome to. And then I'll do cleanup at the end. And we'll close with the Lord's Prayer together. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God who hears our prayers, who cares for us so that even though you made this whole universe with your finger, you know, that you still love us and that we are important to you. Lord, help us to make you important to us. Help us to come to you and pray for your glory and for our servanthood and for your witness to be made evident in the world. Hear our prayers, Lord, as we bring our concerns and our joys to you now.
Father, we pray for the leaders and the workers and even the children who will be coming to Vacation Bible School. We pray even now you would touch their hearts, prepare them, call them, and equip them for just a blessed week. And we thank you for their efforts and their dedication. Bless them, we pray in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Doing well after surgery, and
and full abundant life. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
We pray that when we try to plant a seed of faith and unbelievers' heart, that the Holy Spirit waters that seed.
Prayers for safe travel for Seneca Valley Band. They're on their way home from a trip to Norfolk.
Yes, Lord. Lord, we give you thanks for the joys we experience and we see in the lives of others. We're the part of the body of Christ. And when one part rejoices, we can all rejoice. And when one part suffers, Lord, help us to recognize and be a blessing as we suffer with them. We pray for these people that we've mentioned. We pray for Susie's sister, Sally, and ask that you would be with the doctors as she has her thoracic surgery tomorrow. It's a scary thing to go through surgery, and we pray for healing, Lord, not only physical healing, but also emotional and spiritual healing. Help her to trust in you. We thank you that Bob and Sherry and Tony are back here with us again, and we pray that you would bless them and use them as a blessing. Lord, we thank you that for Liam, that he's doing so well following the surgery and following, you know, his tree falling on him. Lord, when we say he only has a badly broken leg, you know, help us to realize that what happens to us, whatever happens to us, still means that you are holding us in your hands and that nothing can separate us from you. We pray for the primary election coming up. And we pray that Christians might be above reproach in this country, that we might be the people who look like Jesus, and people would say, my, how they love each other and us. Because, Lord, we know that that's not how Christians are perceived today. Help us to stand out because we stand up for you in a way that brings honor to you. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you for what you're going to be doing in it, continuing its ministry. Thank you that you are the God who knows our names and that you have revealed yourself to us. Help us to be humbled by that and in that humility to rely on you. We close our time of prayer now, Lord, with the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our sending hymn is His Eye is on the Sparrow. It's an insert in your bulletin. I also put a quote from Matthew on the front of your bulletin as well to remind us that, well, a bird, a sparrow, might not be something that we want around too much, but God knows them and loves them, and we are worth far more than many sparrows. believe that God is working through you. So go forth from this place and stand in God's might and God's power and not in your own might and power. For then you will be God's blessing in the world. I joyfully join in the Apostle Paul's praise of God that we can read in 1 Timothy. He wrote, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." May God's shalom, God's peace, God's wholeness be with you and spill out through you to be a blessing to the world. Amen.
Thank you. Susan Perry for
thank you.
Michael did that.
Of course.